Give a big welcome to those that are here for the very first time. Would you do that? Some of you here for the first time. I've met some of you, and gosh, it's good to have you all here today. I am very excited about this series that Timothy kicked off last week on prayer, because I know that I can grow in a greater prayer life, and I suspect you can too. And how do we do that? And so I'm looking forward to this just simply because it's moving me back to kind of rethink, how do I pray and how can I become more effective in prayer? Today we're going to talk about listening. How do you listen? How do you hear God's voice? I was so impressed with a friend of mine that he was a pastor of a very large church in Oklahoma. And I remember him saying one time, he would read God's word, and a verse would stick out to him, and he would take that verse as God's word to him. And I remember him saying, God told me. Do you ever get concerned when people say that? God told me that I was to leave the church and go to Africa as a missionary, and God told me I would never be a pastor again. I thought, wow, I'm impressed with that. I don't think that God has ever told me that directly. You know, I've kind of wrestled with those kind of things. Well, they were there for just a few years in Africa, and his daughter had a very, very serious accident. They had to come back home, and he became a pastor again. And I thought, wow, what happened there? Did God make a mistake in that? Or there are philosophers, and they think very strongly about this, that God does not speak. He does not speak to us because God does not speak physically, like ears. So there are some that think that there is no such thing as God speaking. Or, by the way, did any of you last week sense God speaking? Did any of you have God to tell you to go buy a lottery ticket? Have you ever heard people say, God told me to buy this lottery ticket? Unless you won the lottery, guess what? That wasn't God. So the question begs to be answered is, how do we know? You know, one of the great fears I have right now is ISIS, and I think for you also. They feel very strongly that God says to them, kill you. Where's that come from? We'll talk about that a little bit more later on. I like the words of Jesus because he gives us the best word about hearing. Look at it in Mark 4, verse 9. Then Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Let them hear. Do you have those kind of ears? Do you have those ears? Why don't you say that with me? Then Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Let me ask you again. Do you have those kind of ears? What kind of ears is he talking about? How do we hear? How do we hear him? I sat in my office sometime, and I got a wonderful view outside of my office, and I sat there and looked out. I look out over a golf course. I don't play golf. I just watch frustrated people play golf and pick up all the balls they knock into my yard. And I look out sometimes and I see the beautiful sky. And I look up into the sky and I get to imagining how big God is. No matter how far I look out there, that God is. And there is a God that created all this. It's the God that we worship. It's the God that we can know. And then another thought that comes into my mind that just is more than I can comprehend. This God that created all of this out there actually wants to speak to me. Can you think of anything more awesome than that? That this God out there actually wants? It's kind of like what David said, I think, in Psalm 8. He said, when I look out at the starry sky and I think about God and the magnitude, how God is, how big he is, what is man? What am I that he would even consider me one to talk to? And yet he does. God has designed you in His image to hear Him. How does that happen? Here's the objective of listening or hearing God. Norman Wright, a number of years ago, wrote a book on, it was mainly on communication and family and relationship communication, because most of us are a whole lot better at talking than we are listening. And most of us need some coaching on listening skills. Have you ever been around people that could help be helped by some coaching and listening skills? You know, listening is more than just hearing. And here's what he says. I want you to look at it on the screen. Listening means that you're trying to understand. You're trying to understand. He's primarily talking about relationships here on earth. You're trying to understand the feeling of the other person and are listening for their sake. Now let's put that in the context of God. Listening to God means that you're trying to understand the feelings of God. How does He feel about that? What does He think about that? And listening for His sake, not just for yours. So that's the objective that we're shooting for in listening, because we want to understand God a bit better. Listening is so incredibly important. Bill Hybels says it this way, and this is in a book on his book on Too Busy Not to Pray. By the way, if you're not in a group, this is a group, this is the study that we're using in our group that we meet on Wednesday night. And for those that are, those of you that are not already signed up in a group, I'm signing you up this morning for Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And we're going to look at Too Busy Not to Pray. Look at what he says. The heart and soul of the Christian life. The heart and soul of the Christian life is learning to hear God's voice. Having those ears that he talked about, Jesus talked about, having ears to hear God's voice, and then the courage to simply do what he says. The heart and soul of the Christian life is that very thing. And I know there's other studies going on, but other studies will be doing this also. By the way, Timothy mentioned a moment ago, two new groups that will be starting on Sunday morning. And one, Ron Booth, will be leading, and it'll meet up in the children's building. And it'll be kind of all age groups. But we have one, I think, that looks like, Sebastian, we may be starting one, coffee and the Bible study. How's that sound? Over in the village at a coffee shop, if we can get that arranged. And so that would be another one. So there are other groups besides that one on Wednesday night, believe it or not. And they're a good group, so get in one of those. But this one is on prayer. The heart and soul of the Christian life is being able to hear God's voice. Are you able to do that? Why is that so important? Two things. One is that listening is essential to a good relationship. How do you get to know someone without listening? You don't get to know them by just talking to them. You get to know them by listening to them. Jesus did the illustration, and a lot of times these illustrations that Jesus gives, it's kind of hard for us to understand them because they're in the context of New Testament days, or if you go to the Middle East, you might still find that. And this is found in John chapter 10, verse 3, as he talks about the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. And he says it this way, to him the gatekeeper opens. Now, to him, he's talking about the shepherd. And the gatekeeper, what they would do many times in those days, the sheep, the shepherd would have them out grazing all day, but at nighttime, they would come and they'd come into more of a communal pen where a number of shepherds would bring their sheep into that communal pen, and this gatekeeper would sometimes lay across the gate to make sure that a shepherd did not come in, another shepherd to come in and steal the sheep, or even some sort of animal would come in and kill them. And so he would not let anyone in that was not the real shepherd. So to him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep, here's what I want you to see, the sheep hear his voice. Now, this is very interesting if you've never seen it happen. And if you go in some parts of the world today where shepherds still shepherd sheep, you'll see that happening. that when morning time comes, all these sheep from all these shepherds are in this big pen. How do they separate those? How do they know which sheep is theirs and which sheep belongs to somebody else? The shepherd simply calls for his sheep. And those sheep recognize that quickly, the shepherd's voice. Many times he'll have a certain call that they'll recognize. And they just seem like automatically go to their shepherd and he leads them. That is because the shepherd has developed a relationship with them. T.W. Hunt says it this way, that a love relationship with God is the point in which effective prayer begins. A loving relationship, if you don't have a loving relationship with God, you're limited. Prayer becomes more like a superstition or a ritual or a rabbit's foot or a cosmic vending machine. You know, you just want to try to get something, and if you pull the right levers, then maybe that you'll get something from God. But T.W. Hunt says, no. A loving relationship with God is the point in which effective prayer begins. So this whole thing of listening to God, it develops a relationship that prayer becomes is more than just making requests to God. But also, not only it is a way that you develop that relationship with God, most of you have come to the point in which you heard a voice some way down inside of you calling you out of sin into salvation. But he still has a whole lot more to say. He wants to lead you. The relationship, the second, the reason why this is so very important is not only the relationship, but notice what he says in verse 4. When he has brought out all his own, and his own knows who he is. Those own sheep know that they've responded to the shepherd. There's a relationship there. When he has brought out his own, he goes before them and the sheep follow him. The reason why listening is so very important is the way that God leads us. He is a shepherd to lead us. Now, we have so many voices crying out that a lot of times it's hard for us to detect. One voice that we all deal with is all of you talk to yourself, don't you? In all honesty, you talk to yourself. In other words, you're getting ready to make a decision and you're thinking, okay, it's hard sometimes. Is this my idea or God's idea? Is this me talking to myself or is this God talking to me? Or there's another voice and it's the voice of the world. The world really cries out loudly for your attention. There's another voice. What would that be? The voice of Satan. Yeah. He can be very influential in your thoughts. But the voice that we want to hear is the voice of the shepherd. Now, how do you recognize which is which? It can come like that so quickly. Like, for example, Peter, when Jesus said, who do people say that I am? And remember, Peter stepped up real quickly and says, thou art the Son of God. You're the Messiah. And you remember what Jesus said? You're right. God told you that. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. That is from God. Okay, Peter got that right. Did you ever read on down just a few verses after that? What happened? Just a few verses after that, Jesus began to tell them all the bad things going to happen to him. And Peter steps up again to speak, and he rebukes Jesus. He says, no, that's not going to happen. You know what Jesus said to him? Get behind me, Satan. Now you're not listening to God. You're listening to Satan. That quick. So how do you discern which is which? How do you discern the voice of God? In our Wednesday evening group, there was one question. By the way, in the group, I asked them to give me some input on, I tell them what I'm going to talk about, And so I told him what we're going to talk about listening to God. Give me some input on what I need to talk about. So if you don't think I cover it well on Sunday, blame my group on Wednesday night. They're just not doing well enough to feed into me on that. But anyway, one of the questions came, how do you know? How do you know? How do you know if it's your voice, the world's voice, Satan's voice, or the shepherd's voice? Did any of you struggle with that? Well, Jesus many times would tell stories. And he gave them a story to help them know how to listen. And basically, that you're not going to be able to hear God unless it some way squares with God's word, because this is the way God speaks. Basically, through his word and the work of the Spirit is how he speaks to us. So how does that work? Well, Jesus illustrated this way in this story, Mark chapter 4, verse 15. Some people are like seed. Now, what's the seed? What does the seed represent here? The seed represents God's word. So others fell, other seed are sown, and they fall along a path where the word is sown, talking about the word of God, the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes it away. See, here's the work of Satan there. Satan comes and takes it away because Satan wants to bring his thought into your mind. He wants to speak to you. So Satan takes it away. What he's saying here, some of the seed falls along a path that's hard. It's resistant. It's not broken. It will not accept. There's fear there, what God might say. Have you ever not wanted to pray because you're afraid and hear from God because you're afraid of what he would say? A long time when I was dealing with this call to the ministry, I didn't even want to talk to God about that, because I didn't want to hear what he'd say. You know, if you have never received Christ, you've not crossed that line of faith, you listen to the word, but you're resistant because you don't want to hear what he'd say about your sin and your need for God, and so there's resistance there. Sin can so harden us and make us to the place that this soil here is so resistant that it sort of builds up an immune or a calloused that we don't hear. When I was in seminary, just up the street here, that's when the airport was down, municipal airport. That's the only airport around. And jets would come in, and they would come in so low over the seminary to drop down into the airport that you could not speak for a moment because you couldn't hear. And I remember when I first moved in, the lights would shine in our window. I'd hear this airplane. I always looked up because I wasn't used to that. I'd look up. You know, it wasn't long until I paid no attention to those planes coming in, just one after another, and they roar, and you just stop talking for a moment, and then you go on. My ears became hardened to actually, yeah, I heard it, but I didn't hear it. You know what I'm saying? And so our ears can become calloused like a path that's hard, and you hear God and his word, but it doesn't really sink in. Or he goes on to say in verse 16, others are like this. Others are like seed that is sown on rocky place. They hear the word and at once they receive it with joy. But since they have no root, then what do? They last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. In other words, there's not any roots that go down. And we're going to talk about this a little bit more in depth in a moment, but unless the roots of God's word reach down into your conscience, because your conscience is basically what will guide you. And when your conscience are programmed, your conscience can be programmed. God's word, the way he speaks, it literally comes down and takes root. And if that does not happen, when pressures come, when persecution comes, have you ever been disappointed with God? And when there'll be times that God seems so silent, there'll be times that you're disappointed. I thought he was going to come through for me and he didn't. If there's not some, because you will go through a drought season. And when God leads you through a drought season, if you don't have roots down pretty deep, you'll be extremely disappointed with God. Philip Yancey has written a book on disappointment with God. He starts off the book by talking about a young guy that's a seminary and studied and was writing about God and just all caught up in God and doing so very well. But then God did not come through for him like he expected. He was so disappointed. He called Philip Yancey and told him what he's going to do. He took all of his books, all of his Bibles, built a bonfire, and burned them every one. I've met people like that. They were so caught up in the joy of God's Word. And then things happen. And they turn their back on God. Never darken the doors of the church. Never pray. Just shut God out. God will lead you most likely sometime or another through a time of drought. It may be long and it may be short. And if there's not roots there, it says here that they hear and they even accept it with joy. But then tough times come. God doesn't make sense. And there are times that God absolutely does not make sense. Those are kind of a testing time, a growing time to see how our roots are doing. Then he said some, in verse 18, still others are like seeds sown among the thorns that hear the word. But the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires of other things come and they choke out the word. They're cluttered. These thorns, they clutter. It's like when your life is cluttered with stuff, it's like being on the cell phone and you take a phone because you see it, well, it's your kids at home, and you pick it up in a restaurant, and you say, hang on just a minute, I can't hear you, I can't hear you. You have to go outside, you know, because the clutter, you cannot hear. Sometimes if we don't have a way of clearing out that clutter, it's very difficult to hear God. We were, last weekend when we were not here, we were working with the church in, of all places, Houston, Texas. Do you know what happened in Houston, Texas last weekend? It's a dangerous place for a Kansas City chief, I'll tell you that for sure. And right next to our hotel was the Texas Roadhouse. Have you ever eaten at the Texas Roadhouse, you know? And Charlene and I were sitting there trying to have a conversation, and she made a comment. She said, it's very difficult to hear in here. I said, yeah. We're trying to hear. The only good thing I saw is you didn't crack as many peanuts as you want and throw them all over the floor and all that, and it's a great time. And they were... I know they weren't celebrating a football game. I know that. So I don't know why they were so loud, but they were. Maybe just because they're Texans. I don't know. But anyway, it was hard for us to hear. It's clutter. So if you're dealing with clutter, you have a lot of things. What clutters your life? Worry? The deceitfulness of wealth? You know, it's very difficult. I don't know how many people I've run into like this. Is that they get opportunity to work at a certain place because they make so much money, they cannot refuse it, and their life is miserable. That's not where they fit. That's not where God called them. But money speaks, does it not? Very difficult if you don't watch out to hear from God, because money, he said the deceitfulness of riches, you know, and I don't know how many people that I've talked with that their life has been, and they don't know how to get out of the trap because they get into this wealth and they can't size down. And it just closes in on them. I know one guy that he put strong alcohol in his coffee thermos every morning to go to work just to make it through the day. He hated it. He hated it. But it was so tied in to the drawing of money talks, money talks, money talks. So the worries are another thing is just, it says here, your own desires. Your own desires. Your own desires can get so involved, you know, that it's hard sometimes to hear God because of what we want speak so loudly. So there's the path that's hard, the thorns that choke it all out. And the thorns. But then there is the good soil. What's a good soil? What's it take to be good soil that can hear God's voice? Well, it's kind of the opposite of what we've been talking about. Verse 20, others, like seed on a good soil, hear the word, then what? Accept it and produce a crop 30, 60, even 100 times more than is sown. So there's three qualities of being able to hear. There's three qualities of ears that can hear God. There's three qualities of this soil that it finally boils down to. One is that soil is receptive, not resistant. It's broken. It's broken. In other words, what it means by that, it's a lifestyle of absolute surrender. It's a lifestyle that says, yes, Lord, yes. Here's what I've done in the past. Maybe you do this too. Lord, I want so much for you to tell me what to do. Just tell me what to do. And then I'll decide if I want to do it. Have you ever done that? How much you think you're going to hear from God? There has to be something in our heart of a good soul, if we're going to hear God, is that we're saying yes before we ever hear Him speak. Whatever you say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes. And when we have that kind of spirit, I had a hard time, and I've told you this many times before, I sensed God wanted me to move to Kansas City and go to school and all that. I had a hard time hearing God. I keep saying, God, just be clear. And you know what my problem was? I didn't want to come to Kansas City. Who would want to come to Kansas City? I didn't. And I knew where I wanted to live and what I wanted to do, and that would always override. And I keep saying, make it clear, make it clear. And He's never going to make it clear as long as I had what I wanted clearly in mind. When you want your way, you'll never hear God's way. When you want your way, you'll never hear God's way. That'd be good enough for you to say right now. Say it with me. When you want your way, you will never hear God's way. And that's what I was dealing with. I wanted my way. I wanted my way. And I still struggle with that. And it will override if I don't watch out. So the first thing is receptive to the point, yes, it's an attitude of absolute surrender, like a soil that is broken and surrendered, receptive. Yes, Lord, yes, whatever you say. Second, the second quality of ears that are going to hear, and this is a huge one, maybe the most important of all, is that it's a soil that allows roots to come down into our conscience. God's word begins to influence. Your conscience can be programmed, and a lot of how you decide right. How do you know right and from wrong? How do you know that? It comes down inside of you. You feel very strongly about some things that are right, very strongly about some things that are wrong. Where'd that come from? See, everybody's different than that. I listened to the interview this morning, this week, that just made me kind of sick when I heard it. He's a very respected journalist and reporter I worked for three different presidents. And he was being asked about ISIS. And the question was, is ISIS as dangerous as it looks? Without hesitation, he said, ISIS are cold-blooded killers. And the only way you deal with them, they went out and said, you mean this is shedding blood? He said, and this is just his comment, the only way you deal with ISIS is kill them. Ooh. And then he said, let me just tell you what recently happened. One young man in the United States went to be trained by ISIS. His mother was so bound and determined that she was going to intercept that, she actually flew and found him to try to talk him into coming home. And ISIS said, here is the pistol. You shoot your mom. And he did. What happens to a conscience that would do something like that? And I have to be careful not to be so self-righteous that I have a conscience that can be programmed also, and you do too. And unless our conscience is programmed by God's Word, it's not reliable. It's not reliable. And the way that God does a lot of His speaking is in our conscience. My conscience tells me, but I can't trust my conscience unless it is programmed by God's Word. God's Word programs for me, and it's not a big deal. I'm not having to say, okay, I need to hear from God on this. No, I've already heard from God on this. This is right and this is wrong. See what I'm saying? So the way that God speaks to us a lot is the conscience. Now, how do we get this conscience so it's a reliable? Two or three things I've found, for at least for me. My conscience is, I think, this is something I should do and this is something I shouldn't do. And I'm praying and I'm saying, God, help me to know what your will is on this. And my conscience, it has to be a consistent, that's the first thing, has to be a consistent thing. I may get an idea and I think, oh, this is from God. And I journal this. And I come back and the next day and I keep coming. And if that continues to go, you know, when I felt God was calling me to preach, I thought, oh, this cannot be true. I hope it's not true. But it was consistent. I couldn't get away from it. And especially when I go to church, it made me not even want to go to church because I knew that'd kind of reach out. But that voice inside of me, if you're here and you're not a Christian, you've never crossed that line of faith, you know what I'm talking about, because that's a consistent thing. Makes you not even want to go to church. So first of all, this conscience, it's a consistent thing God is speaking. And then secondly, not only is it consistent, many times it's confirmed by others around. You need to have some people in your life. You need to be in a group that is close enough to you that can say, I think you're on the wrong track. I've got people that I go to many times when I'm thinking about something. And I'll email them or I'll text them or I'll get together with them and say, what do you think about it? This seems like maybe something God is in. What do you think? And sometimes they'll say, that makes sense to me. I think others, they'll say, you've lost your mind. Do you have friends close enough that say, you've lost your mind? So is it consistent? Is there counsel from others? And thirdly, is this conscience of mine making me more like Jesus? The way He thinks, the way He acts, the way He sees the world. Is it making me more or less like Jesus? Those are just some of the things that I use to make sure that what I think my conscience is, my conscience dependable at this point. And then third is that you have to clear out the clutter. The thorns that are there, clear out the clutter because they'll shut it down. And let's use David for example. It's nearly unbelievable that a guy like King David, as close as he walked with God and a heart after God, committed adultery with Bathsheba, and he didn't bat an eye to turn around and have her husband murdered. And it seemed like that did not touch his conscience. So God sent the prophet there to tell him a story about a man that took a pet sheep and killed it, and he had a lot of other sheep and made David so mad, said, that man needs to be prosecuted. And the prophet said, you are that man. And then amazing, here's a man that seemed not so close to God, wrote the Psalms, and yet his conscience had been cluttered by sin. That can happen to you. That can happen to me. But the good news is, where do we start with this message? When Jesus said what? Look at it. He who has ears to hear, let him hear, because I'll talk to him. I'll talk to him. Anywhere I find ears that are receptive, anywhere I find ears that is a conscience that I can build my roots in of my word, any ears that I hear that is willing to constantly make sure all clutter is cleared out, I'll speak to them. And for me, most of the hearing from God is in my conscience that is programmed by the Word of God taking root in my life. And I need miracle grow quite often, that those roots would go down into my conscience and I know right and I know wrong, because He has spoken through His Word that's rooted in the consciousness of my heart. So here's your assignment. Three things. And some of you may already be practicing this. I hope you are. If you really want to listen, then do these three things. One is set a time to meet with God every day. Set a time. Now, do you have a time set? It can't be when you get to it, because you never get to it. And there's something about having it, you have it so indelibly set in your schedule that you meet with Him. Now, I still struggle with that, because that's what I intend to do the first thing when I get up in the morning. It's this crazy internet that if I don't watch out, it will bombard me. Or there are other things. And so I have to be a discipline. Okay, this love relationship with God is where I've got to have that time. So set a time. Set a time. So let me ask you, do you have a time set? Yes or no? In your mind, yes or no? Do you have a time set every day that you meet with God? Yes or no? If it's no, then turn that into a yes. That's your first step. Second, not only set a time, but have a place. Do you have a place? And the reason why I think it's so good to have a place, there's something about the consistency of this, that this is a place, this is a special place that I meet with God. And find a good chair, not a too easy chair, because you'll go to sleep, but an easy chair, and a place that is removed. And I don't have the best place in the world. I did have a place upstairs, but it's been bombarded by grandkids. So anyway, but I'm usually now my chair is at my desk, and there's a lot of negative things in that, because that's also where internet comes in. And my internet dings. Does yours ding? And I feel called of God to take care of the ding. I struggle with that, so I have to be careful to have a place that is uninterrupted, a place that I can have with God that nothing can get to me, a place that I've sort of set off as sacred with God. Do you have a place like that, yes or no? Do you have a place? Do you have a time, a place? Thirdly, do you have a plan? What's your plan? When you meet with God, you're just going to run in there and then sit there for a while. And now what do I do? Your mind will wander all over creation. You know what helps my mind not wander all over creation? Is a pencil and God's Word. And I read slowly, and I'll underline. I mark, and I try to say, okay, what is it? And then I write out. If maybe you don't do well with a journal. I don't either, but I jot. I just jot down things. But I found that if I don't, and when I'm talking to God and I get ideas, I say, God, what about this or what about this? Is this on? I jot that down. And if that can, here again, if that consistently think, I think God's in this. I think God is in. And then sometimes I'll jot it down and go back and say, what in the world is in my head when I jotted that down? So it fades away. But I don't have that unless I jot it or journal it down. So have a time, have a place, and have a plan. Do you have a plan? When you meet with God tomorrow, what's your plan? You have one? Yes. You don't have one? No. Let's turn it into a yes. Okay? Have a time. And it can be any time, the best time of the day for you. Have a place and have a plan. And then when you go in to meet with God, sing the song we sang a while ago, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come and fill this atmosphere. Luke, come and lead us. And I want us just to sing this kind of like a prayer to God. And if you have YouTube handy, then when you start your time alone, that you got your plan, just bring that up on YouTube and sing along with it. Or if you don't have that, try to remember these words. And just let that be kind of your prayer the way you start off. Come, Holy, invite Him in. Invite Him. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Would you make that your prayer? Can you do that? Won't you stand and let's sing? Just the chorus there. Come, invite Him in. Come, Holy Spirit. Let's sing it together. Luke.